Amen. We've been doing a series on God the Father. The scripture we have been using as a base was John 4:23-24, where Jesus was telling a woman at the well that there was going to come a time in which the Father shall be worshiped in spirit and in truth. And that time came at his crucifixion and resurrection. That's when the emphasis of worship was toward the Father. But I also want to share with you that there's coming a time in the body of Christ where the Father is going to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. I've shared how the emphasis seems to be on the Son, and that's where it should stay. But I believe the Father desires to be worshiped just as the Son is worshiped. If I introduce myself as, let's say, Nathaniel, and I desire for you to know me as Nathaniel, and the next time I see you, you call me Than. So I'm looking around to see who you're talking to. Oh, you're talking, okay. My name's Nathaniel. Next time we meet, you call me, the last part. Something's not clicking here. You have not called me as I have revealed myself as Nathaniel. Most in the body of Christ are on Than, the Son, Father, Son, Spirit. Most are looking at the God who has saved us as a partial name. Father, Son, and Spirit is the full, intimate name that he has revealed to his children to call him. And if you just major on one of the persons of the Trinity, you are not involved in an intimate relationship with the God of your salvation. That's a strong statement. God the Father, Son, and Spirit is who he wants us to worship him as. Paterology, what we've been saying, is the study of God the Father, his person and his works, or his purpose. His person and his purpose. We've said several times how in the body of Christ, in seminaries, in Bible schools, professors are not even familiar with the term paedology. Turn to the book that was written at Ephesus. I was trying. I think y'all cheating. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. It only takes one. Look at verse 15. Therefore, Ephesians, y'all not praying in the Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. That's the preacher's escape. Therefore, also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, let me share it out of the Amplified Bible. I always pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation that gives you a deep and personal and intimate insight into the true knowledge of him. And him is referring to the Father. Most read that and think it's talking about Jesus Christ. True knowledge of the Father, for we know the Father through the Son. Paul's prayer comes from this book. Ephesians is the most unusual book in the New Testament, especially of Paul's writings. Just about all of Paul's writings were written to correct a problem in a particular church. This is the only book that comes out with not dealing with any problems in a particular church. And that's because this is one of his last letters when he was in prison just before his death that the Father allowed him to share revelation about the person of the Father and the Father's eternal purpose. The book of Ephesians is the Father revealing himself and why he created everything. Now, I've heard so many different reasons why Ephesians was written and what the major theme is. But if you go back and read it from that perspective, you'll see that it's talking about the Father. That's why it's so unusual. That's why it was one of the last letters he wrote. And that's why so many of the prayers are directed toward being this revelation of who the Father is. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. The original Greek word for family is P-A-T-R-I-A, which is a Greek word. And that Greek word is literally in the Greek derived from the word P-A-T-E-R. Remember what we said that word meant? Father. the family's name comes directly from the father's name. Even though we're called Christian, Christ-like, our names as a family, the word family, we have family in heaven, we have family here, but it's one family. And everybody, their father is the same. And we're named after him. My desire is that you realize that there is a facet of your life that is not vibrant, not fresh, not current, if you're not seeking an intimate relationship with not just the Son, but the Father. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to make the Father and the Son real. Not just the Son. How many are with me? Kind of reviewing. The message of the Father will impart into your life and into the body of Christ three specific things. There are many others, but this is the only time I have. Number one, authority. You will sense a strength of authority in your life. Number two, wisdom. Number three, the supernatural. It has always interested me, all the years I've been a Christian, all the testimonies I've heard, and I'm just speaking for myself, I'm not speaking for you. How many Christians, when they say they can't wait to get to heaven, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Or I want to see my relatives. I can't wait. And I got this weird, I have a weird process sometimes. In heaven, this long line waiting to see Jesus. Kind of a smaller line waiting to see relatives, waiting to see the old saints in the Old Testament. I want to sit down with Paul. I want to sit down with Elijah. I personally have never heard a believer, a Christian say, I can't wait to see. I'm speaking for myself. That's sad. Because it's the Father that started everything. All things started from the Father, went through the Son, and it was by the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, there's coming a season that the triune God is going to get so jealous for his name. You know, in the Old Testament, Exodus, I believe it's chapter 34, says God is a jealous God. But many people stop there. Several verses after that, it says, and jealous is my name. I mean, jealous is his name. That puts a whole nother slant on it. And here you have the Father who sent his only begotten Son because he loved the world. And yet the Son is the only one that's getting credit for our salvation. Something's not flowing right. I'm trying to say it nice. And it's going to come a season where the Father is going to say, all right, it's time for me to be emphasized. And in every move of God, there's an emphasis that God brings up to the body, and he wants them to put that at the forefront because he has an agenda to accomplish. And I'm telling you, a time is coming where the Father shall be worshiped in spirit and in truth. He's a jealous God. You must worship him as he has revealed himself to be, or your worship is lacking. Continue to worship the Son like you are. My exhortation is for you to allow the Spirit of God to make the Father real to you. Well, I know Jesus died for me. I saw how he suffered. And, you know, I just love Jesus. Jesus said, none of the things I do, none of the things I say, none of the teachings and the sermons I preach are mine. Now, that's a big statement. None of them are mine. I'm just repeating him who sent me to give you this message. Jesus desires, this may be foreign now, listen. When Jesus was on earth, he continually fellowshiped with his Father. So he could know what to say, where to go, what to do. And just out of intimacy. So when Jesus went up, my question to you is this. Should we do what Jesus did when he was on earth? If so, we must develop an intimate fellowship with the Father through the Son. Because remember, we're his body. He's the head. We're one. And just don't think of a head way over here and the body down here, and one day we're going to get together. Who is Jesus? We're that way now. Most Christians have it like this. You know, he's in heaven, you know, we're down here. So we're just running around here without a head. That chicken with a head cut off. It's now. And the book of Acts says, I'm going to write to you what Jesus began to preach and to do. What does that mean? The book of Acts is not the book of the Holy Spirit and his acts. It's not about the acts of the apostles. It's about Jesus continually working through his body by the Spirit to to reveal the Father. Are y'all getting this? It just, when you start emphasizing the Father, it's just, it shifts the whole Bible. It's us, the body of Christ, Jesus, continuing through us to teach and to do the works that he did through the Holy Spirit, that the glory of the Father may be revealed and worshiped. Go to Romans 8. The Father of all things. This really helped me see the importance of the Father when I did this study. The Father is the one who causes all things good. Romans 8, verse 26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, I'm reading this out of the Amplified Bible. And the Amplified Bible really amplifies it. So just bear with me because it gets kind of wordy. For example, we don't know what God, it's talking about God the Father, wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God. And it's talking about the Father's own will. And we know that God, the Father, causes everything to work together for good of those who love him, God the Father, and are called according to the purpose for them. God the Father causes everything good. This is just a little nugget. I wasn't going to say this, but this is saying that the Father has a will for you. The reason the enemy has fought praying in the Holy Ghost in tongues so much is the key to you fulfilling your call is you praying in the Spirit, because the Father knows what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is praying, and he's going to orchestrate your spiritual growth and all that pertains to you to fulfill your purpose. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're praying mysteries. What are the mysteries? The Bible says the Word of God is the mystery. So when you're praying in the Spirit, you are praying the word of God upon your life. Now think of that. You're praying the will of God upon your life. And as you're praying that, your spirit becomes sensitive to what God desires for you, and it'll come to your mind, or circumstances will come, and you will make the right decisions. This is not my subject, but I think it's important. As you pray in the Spirit, As you pray in your heavenly language, I don't know how deep to go with this. As you pray in your spiritual heavenly language, you remember how Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, angels speak heaven language. They speak the language of heaven. Well, when you pray in the spirit, you're speaking heaven's language. And the reason that baptism in the Holy Spirit has been so fought against is because the spirit, the enemy knows that if you get a hold of the importance of praying in the Holy Spirit, you have a huge advantage on him. See, people think praying in the Spirit is just, you know, some exercise, you know. Gotta do it. You tell we gotta do it. Kimyo-sai. Polly wanna cracker. Chimichanga. I thank you, Lord. That was refreshing. Folks, the greatest weapon that you have as a believer is the Word of God and the Spirit of God that can direct your prayers to produce maturity in your life, for you to fulfill your call that's on your life. Paul told that church in Corinth, he says, I pray in tongues more than you all put together. Now, how many know? I think Paul fulfilled his course. How many? Just a guess. You have to see that you're praying the word of God in your life, in the life of a situation that you're praying about. And the enemy would do everything in the world to get you not to understand what you're doing. See, if you don't understand what you're doing and the reason behind what you're doing and, you know, some mechanics on what you're doing, I mean, guess what? You're not going to do it. You don't see any purpose in it. But that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you're grieved, when depression tries to attack you, pray in the Holy Spirit.
Well, brother, I don't like praying in the Spirit. It's so hard.
The more you do it, the better the flow. Most of us realize at the very beginning when we were little children and they were trying to teach us English, how many remember how hard that was? It's so far back on most of us, I guess. But the more you spoke, the more of a flow came. And folks, I'm not talking about, remember, there's no distance, there's no time, there's no volume in the Spirit. So you praying beneath your breath is just as powerful as you screaming from the mountain. See, most people think they got to scream. Heaven's a long way from here. Can you hear me, Lord? I'm down here. Do you even see me? No, it's a far, far way. He's in you. Let me get back to my subject. The Father causes all things good. Write this down. 1 Corinthians 8:6. says out of the Amplified. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, who is the source, this is out of the Amplified, 1 Corinthians 8:6. The Father, who is the source of all things, and we exist for him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things that have been created. And we believers exist and have life and have been redeemed through him. Always remember, it was the Father's idea to gather a family so they can come up and live within the fellowship of the Trinity forever. And he sent his son to implement his purpose. Don't just stop at the son. The father is the mastermind. The son is the mediator. And the Holy Spirit is the might to bring this about, the power to bring this about. It was the Father who authored it. The Son was the actor. The Spirit of God applied it. But guess who authored it? That's enough. That's so many verses on that. The Father is the creator of all things. Just write Revelations 4:11. Ephesians 3:9. Number three, the Father is the center of all things. And let's just put also all things great. The creator of all things glorious was the creator. Did I say center of all things now? Turn to Romans 11. If y'all don't get anything out of this series, you're gonna know that God the Father started everything. If you don't hear anything else, if we have a quiz, and that's on the test, and that's the only thing on the test, you're gonna get 100 if you remember. He initiated all things. Now, I'm going to remind you, please take this in because you're going to be teaching this to other people. This church has a mandate to reach the world. And guess what? Pastor Jim and Sister Joyce are not going to go to every single place that this church has been mandated to go. Guess what? Guess what? It might be who? Are y'all playing with me or not? Just play with me. Play along. It could be who? Yeah, make it, say me. I know it's hard. I know. This is the only time saying me is going to be hard. Me, 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 me. Many of you are called to ministry. This is a ministry developing church. If you receive what's being taught, if you receive it, you will grow. Many come just because they have to come and hear the message. I don't want nobody to think I done backslid. Is it Sunday again? And it just takes all the effort you have just to put your leg in your pants, put that dress on. We're going to church. It's not like I'm going to get paid. I get paid during the week. It's not as hard to get in them pants when you know you got bills. I mean, just observation now. Oh, my goodness. Where did I go? Where am I? Romans where? 11. I'm just checking. Yeah. What verse? I know. See how much y'all flowing in the Holy Ghost. The Father is the center of all things. Verse 36. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified again. For from him, talking about the Father, the whole subject has been the Father, all things originate, and through him all things live and exist. And to him all things directed. To him be glory and honor forever. Hebrews, you just write this down, Hebrews 2:10. It's also saying that everything's directed to the Father. Write this one, Ephesians 4:6 in the Amplified says, one God and Father of us all, who is sovereign over all and working through all and living in all. That's a lot of all. The next one, the Father is the controller of all things grand. I'm going slow because I don't know which way to go. Because This is the last sermon on this series. And I'm trying to cram everything into it. So I don't know what to cram. Ephesians 1, verse 11. Verse 11. In him also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him, the Father, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And the next one is, the Father is the completeness of all things. Just write this down, 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 28. I don't have time to read. Paraphrase, the Father started everything. He sent his Son to accomplish it. The Son will accomplish everything. And he'll give it right back to the Father. Then the Father will in turn give it right back to the Son. The Father sent the Son to get a bride. The Son gets the bride, brings the bride to the Father, and the Father will perform the ceremony of the Son and the bride. That bride would then in turn come unto the heart of the Father and the Son and live forever. Heaven is the heart of God. Heaven is the throne of God. And remember, we're going to have access to heaven all throughout eternity. But remember, for 1,000 years, we're going to be living down here. This has altered my way that I share the gospel. I used to share the gospel. Jesus died for your sins. Come repent and be a part of the Christian community. That hasn't changed, but I've also added, come and be a part of a family who has a Father. I say it different ways. But remember, John 17, 1 through 3 says, eternal life is this, that you know the Father and his Son. That's eternal life. It has changed so many areas in my life. It has strengthened so many areas in my life. Why? Because I am now just beginning to see God as he has revealed himself to be. And don't get this thing, and I said this before, don't get this thing, and don't allow the enemy to trip you up because you had a bad relationship with your earthly father that's keeping you from this this fellowship with a true, perfect Father. There's eons apart. We said at the beginning that Genesis chapter 1 begins with, let us make man in our image. Who is he talking about? The Trinity. It says, and God made heaven and earth. God, Elohim, that's plural. All these hints that there's a Trinity. Heaven and earth is just another Hebrewism for universe. God made the universe. So you have in Genesis 1:1, Elohim, the Trinity, made the universe. But what is interesting, when you get to the book of Revelation, the very end of this, you start seeing in chapter 22, the throne of God, the throne of the Son, and this river of life that's flowing through it. What is that symbolizing? The Trinity. The Father, the Son, and this living water that shall flow out of you, out of your belly. In the very end, it's about the Trinity. So, folks, I'm telling you, this Bible is more than about Jesus Christ. Now, did that bother somebody? I'm not taking away from Jesus Christ, but I want you to see this is about the triune God. Many theologians, many scholars, Jesus is the theme of the entire Bible. And I beg to differ. It's God who has revealed himself, Father, Son, and Spirit is the theme of this entire Bible. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I just thank you. So much can be said about what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. Holy Spirit, make the Father as real as the Son is to many of us.